Okay. Okay, so let's start. Yes. My name is Markku Huotari, and I work for HSL, and I work as a development specialist nowadays. Formerly, my title was GIS expert, so I've been working in the company and its predecessor, YTV, for 25 years, mainly in the field of GIS data, distributing it, purchasing it, and yeah, and handling it in many ways. And that's how I came across OpenStreetMap and at one point, and also OpenTradePlanner. So, but more about that later. OpenStreetMap is the we could start off with how many of you have edited OpenStreetMap? Quite a few, yeah, thanks. Anybody who feels that they don't know anything about OpenStreetMap? Okay, good. Well, I have slides explaining it, so no worries. So, yeah, let's go ahead. OpenStreetMap is the map data that OTP consumes. So we have these different traffic data that GTFS and that kind of stuff. This is when you get off the public transport, and then you are in the kind of streets. Then you're on the OpenStreetMap data, and I'll go into that later on. But at HSL, it all started. The usage of OpenStreetMap back in 2018 when we renewed our maps. We had, prior to that, we had different maps. We had one depending on Google, one depending on National Land Survey data and other things. So we wanted to create one consistent look and feel for all our maps, and also reduce manual work, because prior to this renewal, we had many time-consuming manual kind of procedures to create different kinds of map that we have on stops and in the journey planner or whatever. And yeah, one key point with OpenStreetMap is that it helps us to react fast on changes. I'll come back to that later on as well. But our OpenStreetMap visualization looks like this. And it's a one map style, several zoom layers, and it's available on GitHub. And when we renewed this map, we also started using DigiTransit, the journey planner that you have heard about here. So that's the UI, how it looks. And then we also have this app that kind of uses the same routing engine that is all based on OTP. So in a sense, this journey planner that has this DigiTransit product name, it's kind of surface on this, the UI and some small modifications, but the routing and that kind of things, that's purely kind of OTP based. And yeah, this slide was also touched upon earlier. We mentioned presentations, there were mentionings about these different journey planners, but the main DigiTransit collaboration, so to say, we have this, there are three main parties, this FinTraffic, HSL, and Valtti. And FinTraffic serves for this national journey planner, HSL, we have our own journey planner, and then Valtti, as you heard previously, they have a collaboration to serve different PTAs. So there are, if I remember correctly, 18 different journey planners to other major cities around Finland that is served with the Valtti collaboration. And these all consume this OpenStreetMap data. We have daily extracts from Geofabric, it's a German company that provides extracts of OpenStreetMap data on a daily basis. So that's what we use then for this routing outside the public transport vehicles. And yeah, but it's also used as a background map, as you experience now, and also geocoding, if that's not a familiar term, that means kind of searching for addresses, points of interest. And there we have, besides OSM, some additional data sets like the National Land Survey name database, and then postal code areas that we can use in the kind of object searches, and then administrative areas, and also in some very, because we have this National Journey Planner, so up north where OpenStreetMap isn't so dense and so so kind of well, it's not covers, doesn't cover all the addresses and that kind of thing, then you use also a national address database that is provided by the Digital Population Data Service Agency, DVV, in as we say in Finland. And then, as I said, the routing, that's fully kind of OpenStreetMap based. And there we have different individual servers for these different journey planner instances. These others, the background, we have one common background used for all the DigiTransit journey planners. And also the geocoding is kind of, there's this one server there in the background, but we can split it in different kind of these different instances that you can't search only for the Helsinki area, for instance, in our journey planner. You don't find places up north in Finland. So, but yeah, I've added some links in these presentations, and I guess you get the slides later on, so you can check for further details, for instance, for our system architecture and other stuff that I come around in my presentation. Yeah. Well, what have we done with OpenStreetMap? Here are some examples of visualizations. I mentioned that we use it also in other places and not just the journey planner. For instance, we have public at these stops, we have these kind of posters where it's possible to put them up. We have a map generator for that, or poster generator. We also have a general map generator to generate these kind of customer maps, paper maps, and that kind of thing. But what else have we done to kind of serve the these services that we provide? We have opened up our operative data, meaning the stops, lines, city bike stations, and that kind of thing, that they can be imported into or added into OpenStreetMap as well by us or the general community. We also edit OSM ourselves when needed. At the moment, we have one person that serves the kind of entire DigiTransit DigiTransit services. He works as a consultant from ZGI, but then there might be some other kind of smaller editors in these different instances that I don't know of, but he is kind of allocated officially, so to say, to kind of see to it that OpenStreetMap is up to date on different levels, and I have one slide about that later on also as well. But what else we do? We monitor the edits that others do, and try to improve the quality. From time to time, we have also arranged some mapathons and this kind of other events to explain to the OpenStreetMap community what we do and how we do it. This is a field where I feel that we could probably do some more, but yeah, we all have our limitations with our everyday job, so this is not the kind of so highly prioritized at the moment. So that's leading to this. But yeah, then we also import data into OpenStreetMap when we clearly notice something that there are a big lack of data in one specific field. So I have slides on that later on as well. But as a whole, we try to be a part of the OpenStreetMap community as it's a crowdsourced thing. So we have created an according to OSM kind of these regulations, they want us to kind of tell what we do. So we have created a wiki page, and if we have time, we can have a look at that also. But let's see. So what is OpenStreetMap? It has been mentioned, it's a collaborative project that tends to kind of map the whole world. It's free, it's open, and it's maintained and governed by the users. This said, there is a small organization that kind of takes care of the servers and that kind of thing that would otherwise be hard to kind of maintain fully on a kind of a voluntary approach. So, but yeah, the data is available in many forms. There are different map services and data download sites where you can access the data, and it's visualized in many ways. So, and there are many tools to edit the data, validate it, and use it. So very, very flexible. And a few words about the OSM data model. There are different ways you map things, that you can create nodes. That means points. You can create a way. That means a line or an area. And that has its own limitations in the data model. That can consist of maximum 2,000 nodes. So very, very big kind of areas, they need to be mapped otherwise. And the relations are the solution to these other kind of objects that you want to map, because the relation is in a way you can, for instance, connect several ways together and create a relation. So relation in technical terms is a numerate collection of nodes, weights, and relations. So for instance, a bus route, you can kind of add several of these lines and put them on the after one another, so you can, and they have different roles, that this is the first way and this is the second way and third. So you have a long stretch of ways glued together, and then you also can add these stops as nodes, and they have kind of the within the relation, they have the role that these are stops within this relation. So, but yeah, it's a complex kind of data and flexible data model, this relation. So, and each of these objects can then consist of attribute data that in the OpenStreetMap world is called as tags. A single object may have unlimited number of these tags, and these tags then define what kind of objects it has mapped. For instance, these tags, they have two parts. For instance, amenity restaurant means that that's a restaurant, and these two parts have, in the OpenStreetMap way, we call them the first one for key and the other one for value. So key kind of explains many of the services have amenity as a kind of key. So it groups kind of different objects together. Roads, ways, they have highway as their key. So, and building is one key, and then land use, and there are water is one. So, and for further information, you can look up the wiki. Yeah, so how OSM works? I mentioned that it's a collaborative project, so nobody, and in a sense everybody, owns the data. There's no one to contact to who is in charge, so to say, like you have with administrative data. For instance, you can contact the National Land Survey in Finland when there's official data sets have there's something problematic there. So you here in the OSM world, yeah, I can't say you're on your own, as it's a collaborative work project. There are many different ways to discuss things. In the wiki, there's the forum, and then also the most of the editors have some kind of built-in discussion where you can send messages to individual users. And yeah, it's a very collaborative world. So anybody can edit anything, which creates need for data validation, communication, and this kind of collaboration that I mentioned. And as you saw on the previous slide, the data model is very flexible, and even so flexible that things can be done in many ways. So this is something that we and you as a data user need to take into account. So you have to be prepared when you kind of do this visualizing in the on the map, or for instance use the name search or these kind of things, the routing. You need to take this into account. And yeah, and this data model is also constantly evolving. The world is developing, so when you use OpenStreetMap, we have experienced that we need to be active community members to be participating in the dialogue and how to develop things. And I mentioned that the wiki also has its own recommendations to give the users and processes guidelines. So things are in a sense documented there, how to proceed, which tag to use, how to go about with map editing. Yeah, edits and imports. I mentioned that we edit OpenStreetMap ourselves. Mostly it's adding stops, modifying them, and roads, cycle, walkways. And then also there's something called access tagging. You can kind of define which modes of transport can go over a specific way section. So some might be for cycling, some might be for walking and cycling, and some just for car. So, but yeah, then also from time to time there are some constructions. There are specific ways to handle those in OpenStreetMap to mark a specific road section as some kind of construction. And then, of course, there are these points of interest, stops and that kind of thing that we create our HSL traffic bulletins where kind of when we have some diversions in the public transport, this information we take into account and edit in the OpenStreetMap, so the right road sections are closed and the right ones are open. And we also get information from municipalities regarding changes in addresses. We have, well, HSL consists of 9 municipalities. At this point, we get these kind of informations regularly from 3 municipalities. So fortunately, these are the biggest ones. So we cover most changes ourselves. And then we also, of course, get customer feedback. So based on that, we can edit something that is missing. And when we edit, so from the edit to production, meaning that for routing, if we do some changes, it's in our production version for the journey planner within 2-3 days regarding the routing and geocoding. But for the background map, the circulation is a bit longer. It takes about 1 week to be visual on our background map. And I mentioned these imports. So until now, starting from 2017, when we took this into use, we have done 2 imports. At the first was kind of adding some, because Helsinki region is bilingual, we have Swedish also in this Swedish road names for. So we saw that there are some names lacking on the Swedish side, so we did an import to kind of create the current situation. So, and also later on we had some bus stop import. It was in connection to a local nationwide import, also created by GG Road, the National Road Database. So this was a follow-up to that. But yeah, what we do then, we encourage the public to improve OpenStreetMap as well, so we don't need to do everything ourselves. This we do by presenting some simple tasks. We have put them up on the wiki page. Let's see if we have time to take a look at that. But yeah, there's also a specific DigiTransit wiki page we have created in OpenStreetMap, where we try to explain in detail how OpenStreetMap works in the DigiTransit, because some of the OpenStreetMap actives, they have some other activities and they might not understand all the way how things go into DigiTransit. So, and then, as I mentioned, there are several instances of these DigiTransit around Finland. So we have also an internal wiki for these stakeholders on this subject, or how to edit OpenStreetMap so correctly and how to go about. Yeah, when we work with the community, we have noticed that communication is very important. We need to tell the community who we are, what we do and why. Be active, engage in these discussions. There's also a way to, when, for instance, we have some unclear issues, we can create map nodes and put it on the map that this road should maybe be closed based on some feedback that we have got, but we can't, we aren't sure, so we ask, kind of reach out to the community to ask for help. And yeah, we have different kind of mapping parties or mapathons or information sessions, and there are some pictures from these kind of sessions. And in our wiki, we also try to provide instructions and tools. For instance, here's a table of the different DigiTransit kind of cities, municipalities, and then some kind of specific problems that we have noticed. For instance, we have here road missing road name. It leads to a overpass query. It's a, well, I think I have overpass explained on the next slide, but it kind of open up, there's links. So you open up and you see visually where there are these missing road names. So you can dig in and edit them. And there are some other kind of specific by subject, these problematic things that we want to address to the public and present. So, yeah, I mentioned the overpass Turbo, I think is the official name. It's a web-based data mining tool, but can be very usable for searching for things with specific tagging, this attribute data that I mentioned. So it's very useful for us. And then also there are many different tools for validating things. I found three major: KeepRite, OSM Inspector, and Osmose. These analyze the OpenStreetMap data itself and presents kind of conflicts that they can find, buildings that are on top of each other, or a road that goes over a stretch of water without a kind of bridge tag into it, things like that. And then OSM-CHA has been also useful to us at some points when we have a limited area where we do some adding, and OSM-CHA helps us to kind of monitor what's going on editing-wise in a specific area. And Map Roulette, we haven't used it, but it could be used as a tool for sharing specific editing tasks that we have bumped into. But yeah, there are many different kind of tools to use. And we also have a specific page in our wiki for data validation. And to data validation within DigiTransit, the previous was kind of OpenStreetMap based validation. So in OpenStreetMap, in DigiTransit, there are available these OTP built-in HTTP reports that reports kind of things, not only OpenStreetMap is specific, but also GTFS and that kind of specific things. I think that most of you might know more about this. This is not my field of expertise, so to say. I know more about what we do in DigiTransit, and yeah, that's why I've listed a bit more of these. We have, for instance, when we have this download from the GeoFabric data, we have extract monitoring, so we get a warning if the size has decreased over 1% since the last download, and then we prevent this data set from being downloaded before we check what's going on and causing this this thing. We do also do routing tests before we import the data into the back end of this journey planner. We have several test runs. We run one routing test first, and then if it's okay, then we have a bigger set that we run, and then if it's all okay, then we're good to go with the new data. We also monitor the connectivity between the GTFS and OpenStreetMap stops, because the GTFS stop is used for kind of visual purposes, and the OSM stops is connected to the OpenStreetMap network. So we kind of have a link between these different stops. So when you travel by public transport, you are in the GTFS network, if we call it that way. And then when you get off at the stop, you're teleported to the OSM network with this reference OSM stop. So there's a common link that links these data sets together. And we also, yeah, this linking is based on the OTP built-in kind of auto-generated unconnected CSV. And there's also, we take a look at the connected CSV because there is a information about how far apart these are, so we can also locate large distances and raise an error flag or some kind of warning, so we can take a look at why are these the GTFS stop and OpenStreetMap stop so far apart. So, and since lately we have also started to monitor specific text strings in the object name with OSM diff. This was introduced to us, I think I missed it, but it was on a previous slide where it was during this Russian invasion in Ukraine. Then there was a node created around the Russian embassy in Helsinki that stated that there is this Zelensky Park here. So it became for some short time visible in our maps. And yeah, I got my 15 minutes of fame at that day, and I was explaining things to Finnish media, so how OpenStreetMap works. And since then, we have kind of, that raised the interest also within HSL how to tackle these kind of harmful edits, as we tend to call them. So based on that, we have kind of now this kind of monitor specific text strings. There's Putin and Zelensky and some other these Finnish swear words and yeah, four-letter words and that kind of things. We also at that point we did some editing to our the map style as well. We also, because that's a specific node, that's not a good way to map a park. So at this point, if you add a node as a park, that's not visible in our maps. It needs to be a kind of area. Then we can also blacklist specific objects by object ID. It's a specific CSV file. So we kind of have some unwanted objects that we want to avoid. And as a new development, we have also, this is not still, it's more in the testing phase, but we have OSM data pre-processing with different tools that, and we have kind of possibility to modify tags on the way, because if there are some problematic ways that OpenStreetMap community has decided to go and map things, and we can kind of change them so that it fits our purposes. So that's one thing that we have done lately, and I think that was about it. Here are my kind of contact information and also link to the OSM wiki. And yeah, I have actually two OSM profiles. That's the upper is my kind of work profile, but I also, this OpenStreetMap is I found it so interesting, so I do some OSM editing and data usage on my free time as well. So, but yeah, that's about what I had. Are there any questions? Yes?
I have two. You said about blacklisting items. What kind of things are you blacklisting?
Good question. There's Jari is here who does this editing. He might better remember.
One case when we are blacklisting, if there are duplicates in data and that unwanted duplicate takes user to a bad place or that kind of cases, we are using blacklists.
Okay. Yeah, good point. Yeah, that I mentioned that we use multiple data sources, of course, when we have this National Land Survey names and also OpenStreetMap, they have the same names. So in these contradiction situations, OpenStreetMap always wins. In that way, we can, if we edit OpenStreetMap, it's kind of overruled quickly if we compare to National Land Survey that might have a year before they update the data. So in that sense, we are flexible and fast. And your other question?
The question was, how do you overcome, or did you have to overcome kind of resistance against people, like officials, government institutions? Sometimes they say, we want to use our own official data, and we're a bit scared of OSM because, you know, anybody could change it. Did you have to overcome that, and do you have any tips for what kind of arguments you could use?
I don't feel that we had to, because this was more or less pushed as a kind of collaboration project, that this is the way we go about. We had some prototype when we started using the DigiTransit, and I think it convinced the different organization that, yeah, it seems to work. So I don't really, but if I would kind of want to stress some things that could help to convince, I would use this. It's very fast, as I said. So, and there's a big community behind the OSM. There are different companies, TomTom, Apple, whatever. So if you remove a major road in Helsinki, it's back within a couple of minutes. So, and at some point, if, for instance, in the Helsinki area where there are a lot of mappers, it's more precise and contains more information than the official map data. So, yes?
Do you have an example for the pre-processing on the last slide you had, where OpenStreetMap maybe uses a different way than you need it?
Yeah, the community says it's a Finnish kind of speciality. I don't know about it. It's very hard to explain, but it's in inner yards where there's some access regulations to no trespassing or something like that. The community, against our will, have decided to start to use kind of their own way of tagging. So we have changed it to the way that we want to do. I can show you the exact tags if you want. Explain it more in detail together with Jari, who knows the subject better than I do. Anything else? Yes?
Yeah, I have one question related to the imports you have made.
Yeah.
Towards OpenStreetMap, and you mentioned that in 20 or 21 you imported the DigiRoad database to OSM. What was the business need for that?
As I said, it was kind of a follow-up to this national import. I don't really know if it's the idea was to kind of, as we have this national road database, so we kind of wanted to update it, but yeah, there were some limitations to what Or actually, yeah, actually now it comes back to me better. They actually, the national import left out the HSL area. And we wanted to add the HSL area with all the different attributes that are in the DigiRoad database. Because at that point, after the national import, the whole of Finland had very much kind of stop attributes, but in the HSL area that we had some fewer ones. So, and these imports are also, I would say, a good opportunity to kind of check the OSM data quality. So, unfortunately, we didn't follow up with the. We had some kind of in this import procedures, we had some comparison between the OSM data and the DigiTransit, and we have kind of log files that could be later on used for manual editing as well, but that got hidden somewhere and no one did some more editing about that. Yeah?
I have a question somewhat related, because we always say official road data or any kind of data sets, they take forever to update, and mostly the process is totally unclear to an outsider how you actually update them. Can you enlighten how you, let's say you work for the Finnish Road Authority, how do they update their data? Do they have some visual editor, or
who?
Do they have mappers? Do they take requests from the public?
Nowadays they do take requests, but it's not so widely kind of, they haven't expressed it, so those who know how to how to contact. But yeah, the National Road Database is based on National Land Survey. It's a kind of connected, so they map the geometry, and then the National Road Database adds these different attribute data. So, but they have actually the National Land Survey, they have some open source. They have switched over to open source in the editing. So I don't know the process in full at this point.
Yeah, the National Road Authority gets like the up, nowadays like updates from their like master system constantly. How they are updating their road graph in the national DigiRoad system. But for example, municipalities, like 95% of the municipalities updates their like official data via user interface. It has like a similar kind of a node and path and this kind of stuff happening in the DigiRoad like official system. Also, like, but in my experience, OSM has like a bunch more like a, like road segments and pathways everywhere. So, and the indoors are modeled and everything. So the DigiRoad has good quality in state roads, but when you leave outside of state roads, maybe the roads of Helsinki, then the quality, it's like a lesser so what it is in the OSM.
Yeah, I think that's an aspect that we as the OSM community should emphasize much, much more.
Yeah.
That there is a defined process, defined editing tools for fixing mistakes, and it doesn't take years, it takes hours, minutes.
And you can just like register in and start editing, basically.
Yes,
if
indeed.
If you make an error, then someone will correct you quite instantly, as Marco said.
Yeah, yes, indeed. At HSL, we had some discussions about the update frequency, because in OSM you can kind of have these minute diffs, so on a minute basis, but as mentioned, there are some harmful edits that you want to avoid, and in that case these kind of a couple of days intervals is a good thing. You can kind of react when you get a flag that, hey, there's something wrong here, you shouldn't download this data yet. So that helps us in many ways. Yes?
Could you explain how do you interact with the community? How often does that happen? Is that led by HSA in particular or others?
Yeah, well, at this point, I would say I'm more or less the voice of HSL towards the community. But we have, as I mentioned, we have Jari who edits OSM, and he raises some questions when he knows notices something. But I also try to be active into these forums also to when we have something that we aren't sure and want some kind of ask the community, what do you think? We put some questions there. I would say it's not too common, this discussion, but it happens from time to time. A couple of messages a week, month, I would say. So it's not that frequent. Anything else? Okay.
Has there been any discussions of having like different intervals for different types of things? Because there might be such dynamic information that changes often and isn't that like relevant to whole working of those OSM mapping. So could there be a different intervals for different types of things?
Good point. I don't remember that we have talked about. We have talked about this frequency of things in many, many aspects, but not that. Well, I put it on a list to things to think about. That's a good point, because regarding that, some of the issues that we know at this point is, for instance, time-related routing through shopping centers that have time-based kind of opening hours, and also day-based routing, because in northern Finland we have something called ice roads. You can, at some point, you can drive over the lake or river, but in the summer that's a no-go zone. So, and also otherwise in the winter time we have tracks here in Helsinki that are used for skiing in winter time, and that's not accessible to walkers, or it's not recommended that they use those in the winter time. So that's one thing that still needs and should be addressed somehow. I know it's a very complex problem, so it's not easy to solve. Any more questions? One more, yes.
Are there any things that you should keep in mind when you use the OSM data, like with licensing issues? Is there anything that you should keep in mind when you use that?
Yeah, licensing-wise, I would say that, yeah, I didn't put it up on this slide, but the ODBL license, that is the name of the license that OSM is licensed within, that causes some, I wouldn't say problems, but there... The OSM data itself, it's problematic to import, for instance, for some organizations like Google, or because Google doesn't want, they have their own licenses and they don't want to spread their own data. ODBL is sort of a collaborative license, that if you start to use it and put it in your own system, then you should contribute the own system, or the contents of your kind of system to everyone else. So that's one thing when you kind of import OSM data. So, but we, as I said, we use fully OSM, so that's not problematic for us. It's more problematic for those who use OSM as a part of their other systems. Okay?
I have a difficult question that I've been trying to answer for a while now. I haven't really gotten a good answer so far, so I'll throw it at you and see if you can answer it.
Oops.
I've been thinking about writing an extractor that converts OSM data into GTFS pathways. What is the license of this combined GTFS feed? Is this? I can't remember the exact term. Was it a derived work or something like that? The question is: is this GTFS feed, should it be licensed under the ODBL? Yes or no?
Good question. We have to come back to that. I don't think we have time for. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking back on pathways, how much are you dealing with routing inside buildings or in indoor spaces?
How much? We have that possibility. There, you can use elevators, and so I would say as much as possible in OSM, because that's the source of the data. So most of our, of course, we have these traffic hubs, the metro stations. They are mapped very well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So a follow up on this. So my experience in Helsinki is that the station mapping for the train station isn't very good, and then it sometimes occasionally put the stop at the wrong platform. So have you made a quality check on the station coverage? So how many stations in the HSL network has now good coverage for all the trains, for all the commuter train services?
I would say we don't have exact analysis. Jari might be of some other idea or I think, yeah, we don't have this kind of analysis done, so can't say exact numbers. Sorry. Yeah, I think we're done now. Thank you.